Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
How is everyone doing out there?
How's your week going?
This is Norris and Parker's Sketch Therapy, episode 5. We've got this far. Amazing.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yep. Especially our fans in Bolivia and Japan.
Wow.
We're really reaching out to all crevices of the world.
Not South Africa, though.
So South Africa, if you could
please
get involved, that would be great. Thank you. So this week we are talking about school in our early formative years.
What we were like at school, what school was like for us.
Yeah.
And me and Sinead didn't know each other, obviously, at school.
No. And we've discovered since chatting that I don't think we'd be friends at all.
No.
So more on that later. And also we have a very special guest on today, Elf Lyons. She's wonderful and hilarious, and we'll be chatting to her about school as well.
But first, how has your week been, Sinead?
Well, we have spent the whole week together.
We have. And also shared a bed last night.
Yeah, as usual. Although I slept better last night, I think, in your bed. I think I'm getting more used to it.
Good. It did take me a while to get to sleep last night. We fell asleep watching Love Island, didn't we? The breathing was quite loud.
My breathing? Mm. You're the only person that's ever said that I'm a loud breather.
It was
in bed.
Quite loud.
Well, what kind of breathing?
It's like... like very loud. I had to put a pillow over my ear.
My face. About 5 minutes, then the breathing stopped.
Yeah.
Then I got worried.
And then I put a pillow over your
away
face. And you managed to survive.
Which is a shame.
We have spent the week together. We've had an intense week of Edinburgh previews in Manchester and London.
Bolivia and Japan. No, just
that's
Brighton.
The next stop.
Yeah. On our world tour. We've been doing loads of previews. We went up to Manchester with Hugh
Davies,
who's our pianist, who
you may have heard in episode 3.
The dog with no jaw. So he came to stay on my mum's airbed. And was absolutely adorable, and we were in the height of like Edinburgh panic and being like, we have to scrap the whole show, it's shit.
We were really taking it in turns to have panic attacks.
Yeah.
And Hugh would then make us meals, calm us down, talk to us
in
a really,
really good advice.
Really
just
good
like
advice.
A really lovable beta male.
Yeah,
just
lovely.
What you need in your life. He's so nice.
We got
and
all
really
the benefits of having him as a boyfriend without having any of the actual sex with him.
We did try and get him in the bath. He declined, which is a shame. My mum came to watch the preview, and my mum is like just really concerned with how we look. So she was just like, oh, girls, I love your hair, but can you not wear something sexier? And we wear skin tight catsuits, not to be sexy, just because they're good for costume changes. And she was like, could you not wear something sexier? I love the dance. We're doing a dance in the show. She's like, I love the dance bit. So I think she just wants us to be professional dancers.
Will you not be wearing any lipstick, Sinead?
This was just before I went on. I was really, really nervous. She was going, would you like to borrow my lipstick? I was like, no, thank you.
Thank you, Liz. And then to me, she was like, I love you like a daughter. I always feel sad when you go.
Please don't leave me.
Please don't
go back to London. Just stay here with me.
We've seen all the parents this week.
Yeah, saw your dad
Norris.
Last night.
Yeah, we saw my dad last night. The first thing he did was he entered the entered the venue, put his hands around my waist and went, you've put on 3 inches. And then put his hands on Sinead's waist and said, yes, fine. And then
I know that things are going really well for me when Ian Norris looks at me and goes, yes, fine. I'm like, I'm looking peng.
I know. And then I felt super confident getting in my catsuit that night.
I love that all our parents have to come and watch all our filthy, filthy shows where we share too much. And just like you were singing a song about your vagina, mm-hmm. the Voodoo Pussy song. Mm-hmm. And then Ian Norris was just in the audience mm-hmm. and just giving us general notes.
My biggest critic, yeah.
Yeah.
But and just you got an unfazed. Amazing blowjob joke. And he was like, who wrote that? The blowjob joke. Very good.
He's got very good taste, is Ian Norris.
Nothing shocks him.
Our unshockable parents, you've seen it all. So this week we're talking about school, and we thought we'd start with a tale, a romantic tale from Norris's childhood.
I don't want to say any more. Play on. I grew up in Somerset, the only daughter of the Norris dynasty. I was a naive, vulnerable, yet busty child. At 13, I thought I'd found the love of my life. His name was James John Bailey, and we met at a young farmer's disco when he took me for a ride on the back of his mini tractor. God, we used to go everywhere on this mini tractor, all the best places, Hollywood Bowl, Wimpy, Sainsbury's car park. It was perfection. Until he went on the Duke of Edinburgh to Dartmoor, and my world fell apart.
What happened on Dartmoor?
He was on a 10-mile adventure trail, hunting for ladybirds, when a fool lost the group compass. Soon the weather turned. The elements were against them. First the rain, then the thunder, then the lightning, and then soon they were encompassed by this thick fog. And James, trying to take charge of the situation, well, he gathered the group under a tree and he...
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, he died!
No, no. Much worse. He fingered Emily Dudbridge.
Oh.
He told me that he was suffering from exposure, and I believed him. And then more girls came forward, and they too had been fingered, but on flatland.
What did you do?
Oh, well, I did what every self-respecting 13-year-old girl would do.
Let him finger you instead.
No.
No, sorry, that was inappropriate.
I ended it.
How did he take it?
Oh, not well, obviously. He came to school the next day, armed with his father's gun. He locked us both in the music practice room and he threatened to kill us both.
My God, and what did you do?
I summoned up the courage, looked him straight in the eye and said, don't cry for me, James John Bailey. The truth is I never loved you. All through my school days, my child existence. Unlock this door now, then keep your distance.
Whatever happened to James John Bailey?
Well, according to my Facebook, he's a fat electrician now living in Torquay. But I wish him the best.
So that was a true story, wasn't it?
It was a true story. Names have been changed slightly.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
About time.
But yeah, no, school was an interesting time for me with boys, womanhood.
It sounds like a completely different experience to my own. It sounds like it was all kicking off in the country.
It was. There wasn't really anything else to do in Somerset apart from just, well, that. yeah, I loved boys at school. That's the only reason I went to school.
Really?
Boys, not the education at all. Yeah, I used to walk around with the boys that I fancied initials on my hand and also my bra size. And then on Valentine's Day, I gave out Valentine's cards to every single boy in the year.
All of them?
All of them, yeah. All handwritten. Nice. And then...
With your bra size?
With my bra size inside as well.
Signed by...
34B. Tammy. E-Tam. And they used to call me Skyscraper. I was the same height I am now, 5'6".
Yeah, didn't you start your period at like
10? Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
You don't want to start your period at 10. Like, you don't know what it is. I remember like finding the period in my pants and going at the top of the stairs, Mom! And then being really upset. And then Mom just sort of showing me what to do. And then the next day going into primary school. And then the teacher taking me into the teacher's toilets and saying, you will be using this toilet now, Katie. And
you're a woman now, Katie.
The teacher's bin. And then me being like, I don't want to use the teacher's bin. I know, brutal.
I remember like desperately wanting to start my periods. I think I was 13 and everyone else had started theirs. And I was like, willing it on, like squeezing it out of me. And then when it finally happened, I was like, finally it's happened to me.
I've got blood in my pants and I
just cannot hide it.
You really can't now.
No.
Very heavy.
Very, very heavy periods. Yeah, but I was the opposite. I was just a massive geek. I was a massive geek at school, and no boys fancied me, and I didn't have my first kiss until I was 17. So I had to lie. I had to pretend I was one of those people that went, yeah, I did get off with someone on holiday. And it was always like when my family, I went to Ireland in the summer in the car park in the pub. got off with a young Irish boy. And
Seamus. His name was Seamus.
And Seamus did tongues. I had to come up with really elaborate lies because I was... I remember someone, because I went to like a real proper like Mancunian. We moved up my family from London to Manchester when I was about 5. So I went up with like a little posh voice. And then I went to a high school where Oasis had been. It was like a proper Manc high school. It was like, nah, what are you doing? I'm going to fucking bang you out. and I'm going on the school bus and standing under the stairs and getting spat on. And then getting something out of my bag and looking up and everyone was smoking. I was just such a geek. And he used to be like, nah, are you frigid? And I'd be like, no, there was the boy on holiday.
There was Seamus. Ask him, Seamus.
And it was a Catholic school, and my mum made me be an altar server at church till a really old age. I was 13, and like everyone stopped being an altar server probably about 9 or 10.
What is it? Because I'm not Catholic at all, but I don't know what happens with the when you're an altar server.
So it's basically like you go to mass, and the priest is on the altar doing mass, and then he has like children helping out, and you wear a white robe. Mm-hmm. And Easter was a very exciting time, mm-hmm. because there was like you used to like process around the church with like a big crucifix and wash people's hands, and there was incense.
Wash people's hands.
Yeah, it's supposed to be feet, but I think they were like, that's not hygienic. but it was very like, so you did things like you rang the bell at certain times, you helped with communion, you brought the priest the book, but I was the worst because apparently I used to just sit on the altar and fidget and talk to myself and not pay attention. And I remember when Princess Diana died, the whole service was about Princess Diana dying, and then afterwards my mum was like, wasn't it terrible about Princess Diana? And I was like, what? And I didn't know because I just spent the whole time performing. I was very bad and I used to forget everything. But yeah, everyone would stop doing it about 9 or 10, but my mum's so proud.
I can imagine your mum loving Princess Diana, actually. Yeah. She wore lipstick.
Well, she just felt like she went through the same thing with her divorce.
Yeah. No, I won't hear a bad word said about your father. He's an amazing man and very good looking.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel about my dad. So my mum was very proud, but she made me sort of stay being an altar server from a late age, and she wouldn't let me shave my legs either in PE. You know, when you got to a stage and you start getting body hair,
probably I was
about
10.
Yeah. I was 17. And people started shaving their legs. Uh-huh. And she made me like not shave my legs for a really long time. So
there
I was
were
about
a few
one of three girls
like
who had full on hairy legs in PE, and it was just really embarrassing. I was like, please, mum, let me do it. She's like, once you start shaving, they're just going to grow back really thick and really long and really black. Just put it off for as long as you can. That and sex, because you'll get cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer from sex.
And I ended up getting HPV anyway. I was a really late bloomer.
Finally, it's happened to me. I got HPV.
And my cells are cancerous. but it's fine. I got them removed. It's all okay. Hairy legs, an altar server, a posh little voice in a Mancunian school, no interest from boys.
Not
cool. Did you
not fancy any boys, though?
Yeah. I did fancy a boy called Gareth, who was like the fit guy at school that everyone fancied. I was such a guy. I just loved like learning.
No. And, I was like drama, music, art. That was my jam. Yeah. Yeah. And my brother, Ben, because obviously he's like a doctor now, he was always known as like the really clever one. So yeah. I was just like, I won't bother. I'll just be in all the plays.
Yeah.
And I remember Ben wrote a play and then became grade 8 on the guitar. And I was like, give me something. Why do you have to take everything from me? And he's doing really well now.
The doctor,
yeah. The doctor in the family. But yeah, no, I loved school. It was great. What was your favourite subject?
I loved English and history. And I was very proud when my teacher read out my history essay.
What was it about?
Like, I can't even... I think
Battle
it was
of Hastings, 1066. The only date that sticks in my head.
I don't know, but I remember I was so uncool that my mum had to go into English class and ask the teacher. She was basically like, so Sinead has no friends. What are you going to do about it? And my English teacher then did like a shake-up of the class, and she asked me who I wanted to sit next to, and then rearranged the whole class. So I had a friend. But I like drama too. I feel like that
we
was...
would have bonded if we'd had drama together, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise I think you would have bullied me. Or just thought I was
you.
Really uncool.
I feel like we would have made friends in drama.
Yeah.
Definitely. That would have brought us together in some way.
Yeah.
You'd have been the funny one. The funny that we were doing comedy duo from a very young age.
Yeah. It's been interesting. No. So now to a sketch set in Manchester. Place of my childhood and youth, with an agoraphobic man named Brian.
Hi, I remember the steam trains, harvest festival, a tall glass of milk and a hunk of brown bread after a long day in the mines.
I remember when my mother used to give me tuppence to buy sweets every Sunday after church. I kept the money and never bought the sweets. Now I'm a millionaire.
Those were simpler times. Mind the gap. You are now in
Manchester.
2-for-1 tiger, tiger.
I want to get rat ass, then I want to get shagged.
Biggest show, biggest show.
Move out me way.
Biggest show, biggest show.
Not today. Shut up, you fucking cunt.
Come on, sir, tie. Come on, sir, tie.
Gyro came in today. Once I paid my licky bill, there isn't much left.
Give me your fucking money, you dirty slag.
You look like my grandson.
Shut up, slag.
Ah, help me. I'm on the ground. I can't get up off the ground.
The decline of the north.
Brian's story.
Always rains. Cold, dark, damp. And that's just me trousers. People always asking questions. How's the job hunt going, Brian? Slow. Have you ever considered doing an NVQ, Brian? Henry, what? Sometimes I think it's easier just to stay inside me house. I tell people I'm not in, but I am in. That's when the rumours started.
Pedo! Pedo! Pedo!
People started shoving things through my letterbox. Eggs. Letters. Someone even posted a chocolate log and I ate it. Turns out it was just a shit.
I blame Margaret Thatcher for stealing all the milk off the kids. Some people might say she was the real pedo. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Sometimes I wish I had been hit by that tram, instead of it just being a near miss. All my friends are dead.
Brian! Brian! Brian!
I'm not in! But I am in.
You are in, Brian. I can see your silhouette through the lace.
Oh, I fucking hate lace.
Hello, Brian.
How'd you get in?
I've got a key, Brian.
Oh, I fucking hate keys.
Long time no see, Brian.
Aye.
You've had people talking, Brian.
Aye.
You've had people worried, Brian.
Aye.
Ever since you were caught on that seesaw with no pants on.
All right. I was drunk and it was a warm day.
Right, sit down. Let me cut your mullet.
Don't be taking too much off the back.
I know how to cut hair.
So, how's Deborah?
She's not good, Brian. She failed her A-levels. 3 U's and an F. She's been cutting herself for days. But it's okay. She's going to become a plumber now.
Oh, aye. Good trade, that. Good trade. I had a trade once. Dinner lady.
Yes, but you ruined that, didn't you, Brian, when you were caught serving lasagna to the kids with no pants on?
All right. I was drunk, and it was a warm kitchen.
What's that terrible smell, Brian?
I had Chinese last night.
Well, that's not Chinese, Brian.
Fine! I pissed myself and let it dry.
Oh, where's your wife, Brian?
Buxton, with her sister.
Janet doesn't have a sister, Brian. Everyone knows that.
Oh, you women with your poking and your picking and your nagging and your tea towels and your sanitary napkins and your snow globes.
That's Janet's coat by the door. Why would Janet go to Buxton without a coat, Brian?
She took her other coat.
But Janet's only got the one coat, Brian. It's a pride and joy. Everyone knows that. And her Crocs. Why would Janet go to Buxton without a Crocs, Brian?
She took her other Crocs.
But Janet's only got the one pair of Crocs, Brian. They're a pride and joy. Everyone knows that. What's going on, Brian?
Nothing.
You're telling me? Your Janet's wandering round Buxton, coatless and crockless, looking for a sister that does not exist.
Oh, yes, I forgot. She is in.
Well, where is she, Brian?
In the attic.
What's she doing in the attic, Brian?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was another sketch where Katie plays a northern man in a mullet.
Mm-hmm. Who lives comfortably inside of me.
Yeah, and people often fancy. Less so with Brian.
No, less so with Brian because I think he was a bit disgusting. But you can listen to part two of Brian and Trish next week.
Mm.
And now for the fun part, we're joined by comedian and writer and sex god. Can I call you a sex god?
Yes, you can.
Elf
I was
Lyons.
Not expecting that.
Yeah, I know. See, I wasn't expecting it to come out of my mind. You look fit.
I feel so sweaty.
This is a really hot room, yeah. And I've got my flies undone, and
you haven't worn deodorant.
You guys look so relaxed. You're not wearing shoes. No. I need to sort of loosen up.
If you could remove some items of clothing
for
the podcast,
the next few moments.
Developing theme.
See if the listener guess which one I take off.
How are you?
I'm good. Edinburgh.
Oh.
Edinburgh.
We're all doing Edinburgh. We're all sharing a flat in Edinburgh. And we're all stressed.
So, Elf, we're talking about school.
Yeah.
And what we were like as teenagers. And
oh, God.
I'd like to imagine you were homeschooled.
You know what? You're not far off.
Really?
My sister was homeschooled.
Really?
And I went to boarding school.
Ooh, my dad went to boarding school. Tell us about boarding school.
It was all right. I was thinking about what I was like, and I think I was kind of like a non-child, as in,
right.
I can't really remember, because you're not aware of other people's opinions when you were a child,
no.
Are you? You just are used to your parents' unconditional love. And then I went to boarding school, and I wasn't surrounded by instead I was surrounded by people who would tell me, no, you need to share. And I really didn't like that. And sharing in dormitory, I shared a dorm with like 12 other girls.
Wow.
It was proper baptism
by
fire.
How old were you when you were at boarding school?
11 to 18.
Wow, that's a long
7
time.
Years. That is, teenagers.
And are you friends with any of those girls now?
Yeah, I see people in and out. Though I don't think I'm very good at friendships. As in, I'm quite introverted. Mm. So I'm very turtle-like. I just assume people are doing good and they can tell me if they're not doing good. And if they're not doing good, great, we can have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But other than that, you just go on your merry way, and I will just go in the library. I spent most of my time in the library.
Yeah.
But not in a lame way. I bloody love the library.
Yeah.
Mm. I used to run drama classes for the for the year youngers. I used to be like to Miss Karen, I go, Miss Karen, I want to do more for the youth and try and tell them that drama is about increased confidence. So I'm going to do some Shakespeare workshops. She'd be like, okay, are you sure you want to do that at your lunch break? Yes, I do. And then I go up to Miss Karen and go, I love Othello so much, I decided to write an extra essay about why I think Iago is one of the perfect characters of all time.
I love that.
Yeah, I know, that's adorable.
Yeah, but I think I was quite Marmite-y. Lots of younger years really liked me.
Yeah.
People in my year, the cool kids.
They were unsure.
I don't think they could stand me. So, I was a very weird, but I sort of took it in my stride. Mm. From 1 year of being really unpopular in my first year of school, just not really knowing where I fitted, pretty sure I was gay. You know, 6 foot tall, not conventionally pretty.
I was a tall girl as well. Skyscraper, they used to call me.
Oh, that's nice.
And me and Leah, they used to call us the Twin Towers.
Me and my friend Sophie Long, she was so cool. She got the NME every week and she had really long, dark brown hair.
Oh, yeah.
And she always spoke like this and she was so... She didn't give you any affection and that was sort of like why she was my best friend. I was like, oh, do you want to come round to my room? I go, okay. And her room was covered in Carl Barrett posters and I was obsessed with Pete Doherty.
I used to love Carl Barrett.
Oh, yeah. And so we would sit in her room together. She was at a music school, so she played the guitar. And we used to rewrite Shakespearean sonnets and put them to the music of Joy Division.
Oh,
that's amazing. That's so cool. That's very cool.
And we'd rewrite Coldplay songs. And then we went on stage and we did Love Will Tear Us Apart. And then like I ran around hitting myself. And
amazing.
Performed it in front of all the tennis
I think you
team.
Might have just come up with your Edinburgh show here, so I don't think you need to panic anymore. It's done.
God, we did so many.
That's amazing.
Weird...
I really would like to hear that.
Oh, God, I was such a weird kid in hindsight.
Did you ever... Yeah, I was just thinking that... We had a school band, despite being a massive loser, I was in a school band called the Barlow Babes.
And that sounds amazing.
We performed at the old people's party at Christmas and our hit single was Love is like an angel falling from a star, finding the key to your heart.
What's that from?
It was just made up. I wrote
that
it.
Was oh really my impressive. God.
I was a singer-songwriter.
Can we please just teach it to us now so we can be the Barlow Babes?
So it goes, Love is like an angel falling from a star, finding the key to your heart.
Okay. So,
love is like an angel falling from a sky, finding the key to your heart. Then it went, if you really love me, somehow you should show me that true love never ends.
This is a good
song.
Yeah, go on, I want it more.
Thanks. Cannot remember the rest, but I'm happy.
It sounds like some All Saints Sugar Babes. I would have loved to have been in the Barlow Babes with you.
Yeah.
That would have been so much fun.
I used to...
I'll start, isn't it?
You don't want to be in the Barlow Babes?
No, I'd love to be in the
if
Barlow
Babes. If we're sharing a flat in Edinburgh, we should call us
the Barlow Babes.
Form our own band in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Wow, yes, yes.
Can we do Sonnets to Joy Division? Because I would like to do the Love from
Naked.
Paris and Heart one.
Yes.
What, like,
oh, yeah.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
There was, how is it?
Again.
Yeah, it was like, no longer mourn for me when I am dead. Pay morrow to the world when I am fled. The thing is, because obviously it was rhyming couplets. We were like, wow, that doesn't rhyme, so we'll just swap all the couplets around. So none of it made any sense at all.
That is so amazing. Yes. I really want to do that.
Yeah,
yeah, we have to do that.
We did so many. But I remember, because my little... I was a real diehard Catholic. Well, I mean, I was really religious for my first
Same.
Few years, and I really wanted to... My brother wanted to be the Pope up until he was about... 11, and he used to reenact the crucifixion in the garden with his action men. And I was just certain I was going to be a nun. And when I turned up at boarding school, everyone had pictures of Orlando Bloom and Justin Timberlake and all these people. I had a poster of Lord Christ our Saviour, and I had a poster from the Bodyworks exhibition. You know that guy who cut up loads of dead bodies?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I had gone to that exhibition the week before I first went to school, and I'd gotten a poster of lungs from someone who died of lung cancer. And my dad said, are you sure you want to take that to boarding school with you? And I was like, yes, I think this is very important because I want people to realise that smoking is really bad for you. So everyone else had these really nice posters, and above my bed I had these dead lungs
and Jesus.
That's so intense. That is so intense. I love it.
You're like, as a young Catholic, I was really disappointed on confirmation day that you didn't wake up with a flame, with a burning head.
Yeah.
Because when you have your confirmation, they put a photo of you up with a flame on your head, and that's what was confirmation. Was it when Jesus came back and the spirit was in the room and everyone had flaming heads? And it was such an anticlimax because the day came and it was just you wore a little white dress and went up and down the aisle and got some ashes on your head, I think.
Yeah, well, I got so excited about my confirmation because I was 13 or 14. I thought, I am ready to confirm my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ready to confirm that I'm a Catholic. I used to remember I once went walking in the school forest on my own, and you really shouldn't have done that. And Miss Stone, our headmistress, went, where have you been? And I was like, I was just wandering around feeling God's love.
That's amazing. I feel like you were already stoned as a child. I love it. You don't even need.
Oh dear. And there was this girl, she was called Liz, and she's actually married to a comedian now. And so I always see her in the comedy world, but I never know how to talk to her properly because she was the best singer. And she was in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And she played Elvis. And she sang that, you know, that solo, those Canaan days, where did they go? And I was in the chorus, and I used to, every time I watched her, I'd burst into tears because I was like, that is beautiful. That is the reason God exists. She has the voice of an angel. And then one day I saw her smoking in the park, and I was devastated. I was like, that woman is ruining.
Did you go up to her with the lamp
with
poster?
The poster? Okay, can I show you above my bed, please?
I went up to her with the lamp poster. And I went up to her at lunchtime and I went, I just want to talk to you that you have a talent. And God has given you that talent. And if you smoke, your talent will go away. I don't know what happened, but I did. I think it was just with my hormones. Mm. My love of Christ did just calm because I'm still religious.
No,
but I'm
I really
like...
wish that you'd done that to me at school, because at parents' evening, I was asked to sing as the parents are going around the school. And I had a spliff before I had to sing. And I remember being in Mr. Thomas's music room about to sing on my own from Les Mis, and nothing came out. I was just a cotton wool mouth. And Angus Malcolm, who had given me the spliff, was just laughing. And Mr. Thomas was really confused playing the piano. And I was there like, like that.
So I was really, really into singing. So I had this singing teacher called Miss Miller, and she like been Carmen and Broadway, and she was this big American. She was really impressive. She was like 6'1", and she wore crazy bohemian clothes, and she didn't shave her armpits. And obviously at that time, being the age I was, I'd never met a woman who just didn't. She was really, you know, she was proper boho and cool, and she was a very clearly a feminist, and she would always, she would taught me all these different songs we'd do, and we always did covers of Avril Lavigne together. But she, we were doing raising money for the chapel, and it was Christmas time, and she said, you and two other students, one girl called Iona, and I can't remember the name of the other girl, let's call her Iona as well. So you and Iona and
Iona.
Me
and Iona, the two Ionas.
Me and the two Ionas. You're going to do a cover of, you know, We're Walking in the Air.
Lovely.
Absolute banger.
Yeah. It's absolute classic. Everybody's on board with that, especially when the beat dropped. Okay, we'll do that. The two Ionas, they were high. I'm an alto. They were both going to be dressed up in pyjamas, and they were going to sing the boy bit, We're Walking. And then I'd do the suddenly, snooping look. And we'd like, and we'd practice it together. Anyway, practice day in, day out for about a week. They were going to be dressed in pyjamas. I was having a snowman costume supplied by Miss Miller. Anyway, the day of this big performance in front of all the teachers and parents, raising money for the chapel in the big hall, came. Miss Miller couldn't come. I don't know what happened, but basically someone she knew or was familiar with, or she had caused someone to die. So she wasn't able to come in. So she didn't have the snowman costume. So I didn't have the snowman costume. Then Iona number one pulled out because she had some stresses with her GCSE or mock exams. And then Iona two pulled out because
Iona wanted it.
Yeah, she just panicked. And so I was there on my own, and I was like, well, I'm not going to, because we were in the programme. And so I didn't know what to do. And so what happened was, someone in the catering team, her brother was in the Priory and had a straitjacket.
Oh,
amazing. Wow. Oh, this is not real.
So they put me in a straitjacket. And on my own, in front of the entire school, I sang, We're walking in the
straitjacket.
That's just a woman breakdown.
The best story ever.
The straitjacket
was
necessary.
An Edinburgh show. Yeah. The most insane things happen at school.
Yeah.
I mean, school's just a ridiculous place. That, and someone was responsible for that happening to you. Like, that's insane. To give a child a straitjacket.
Yeah, I know what we'll do.
That's amazing.
Because when you're little, you just, if a grown up tells you something, especially in that environment, you assume they have the best intentions.
Yeah. Yep.
Forgetting that they're probably thinking, what's the funniest thing we can do at our work? Get a child.
So is there anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, Edinburgh. I'm doing Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Doing Chiff Chaff in Edinburgh, which is the musical about the economy, at 6:50 at the Jack Dome at the Pleasance. So that will be very fun.
Definitely be coming.
Yeah, come, and I'll definitely come and see yours, and then come.
Yeah. And then we'll all just go back and come.
Come together.
Or singing your pop song.
Working on our tune.
Just to, for the listeners.
Mm-hmm. I'm an angel falling from the skies.
A star
finding the key to your heart. God, you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Well, that was Sinead.
I would have had a poster of you on my wall if I...
Next
you,
to the lungs and Jesus Christ.
I had Jay from
Holy
Five
Trinity.
And Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Just snog them.
Ow. I cannot wait to see your show. We're just going to have fun.
We will. We're going to have fun. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming to see us tonight.
To yeah, yeah, I really wish I'd gone to your boarding school. It sounded amazing.
You would have had a cool time with me.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
thank you for coming along. Yeah, it's been lovely.
Yeah.
Elf Lions. So that was the amazing Elf Lions. Very, very exciting to have her on the podcast. Now I think it's time to hear from the man who called me fat last night and who also went to boarding school and I think might be psychologically damaged. Here you go.
A couple of years ago, I met Boris Johnson's father, Stanley, in the street. We were both attending a literary festival in West Somerset. Stanley Johnson, say I. Hello! He booms, sticking out his hand. Stanley, I say, now you won't remember me, but we were at school together, same year. My name's Ian Norris. Of course I remember you. You're in my book. What? Did you know I'd written a book? No. Well, I did, and you're in it. Yes. I tell the story of when you sabotaged the church organ and got beaten for it. Oh, yes. Well, I'm glad that's on the record. And here's what was on the record, was that I did sabotage the church organ. I was the choir boy, or one of the choir boys. And in the village church, it was my job, as it was for the other choir boys, to take it in turn to go and pump the organ behind the organist in the vestry. And I did it, and I went and pumped away. And then I thought, hey, this thing, this stick that pumps it, unscrews. What a laugh it would be to unscrew it and put it back in its hole, unscrewed, so that the next guy that comes to go pump, pump, oh dear, he'll be in trouble, won't he? And I did that. I unscrewed it and I went back and sat in my place, actually right next door to the vicar. And I saw the next of the boy go off to go pump, pump, and I saw the organist raise her hands to start the chords for the hymn. Down went the hands. Total silence. Apart, that is, from one little boy in the front row of the choir stalls shaking with laughter. So I was easily identified and beaten.
And also in Stanley Johnson's book.
I know, yes, and in Stanley Johnson's book as well. So their fame.
Fame.
Thank you, Stanley.
Yeah, not the sort of fame that you want, though, is it?
Doesn't bother me one way or the other, really.
Oh, it was a nice topic this week.
Yeah.
School.
I genuinely totally forgot about the Barlow Babes and now I'm really, really excited to bring the band back.
You should bring up a MySpace page for them, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a reunion tour.
Yeah, I'll let everyone know on MSN.
Yeah.
On the old dial-up.
It was nice to be nostalgic about the old, you know, Somerset school days.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to me. Really.
And a lot to a lot of boys, I think, in the Somerset area as well, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Oh, they'll always have a special place in my heart.
That's one place.
Well, thank you so much for listening this week, everybody. It was just a pleasure.
We absolutely loved it. I had the best time ever.
I had a great time. Now, if you liked it too, can you please, please, for the love of Jesus Christ, leave us a review on Acast, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. Tweet us, NorrisParker26.
Or drop us an email or send us something by pigeon.
Or in the post. Subscribe
through Brian's letterbox.
Don't send him a shit again. Tell your friends, tell your mother,
tell your dads.
Spread the word, please.
Ciao.
Have a lovely week. Goodbye.
You have been listening to a Red Apple Creative original podcast. For more great podcasts from Red Apple, just go to redapplecreative.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.